Welcome to the Renewed by Truth podcast. Do you struggle with feelings of unworthiness, self-doubt, or just feeling like you are not enough? Do you want to make more of an impact for God's kingdom, but have beliefs that hold you back? Trust me, I have been there. If you are plugging in here today, this is not another self-help podcast, but one steeped in biblical truth. I will help you overcome limiting beliefs, find your true identity in Christ, and live out your God-given purpose. My name is Candy Creech, and this is the Renewed by Truth podcast. Let's get started. Welcome back, friends, to the Renewed by Truth podcast. I'm your host, Candy Creech, and it is February. I don't know when you are listening, but when I'm recording this, it's February, and so I thought I would do a theme this month, and my theme was going to be love. And as I've been digging into this topic, I've been so very excited. I have so many things to share with you. It can't be covered in one episode. So our whole theme this month is going to be love. I want you to grab your Bibles. I want you to study with me. I want you to grab some highlighters. I want you to grab a journal, and I want you to take some notes on this. I want you to write in the margins of your Bible. I want you to really understand love according to what the Bible says, according to just everything about love that God tells us, not what the world says, because it is different. Also, when we read in our translation of the Bible and it uses the word love over and over again, there's different words for love in the Greek, and God meant for there to be different kinds of love. So we really lose that in translation. So I'm going to take you back to some understanding of the Greek when it comes to agape love, philia love, agapeo, and you're going to understand so much more. And what I really want this to do, this is not about head knowledge. This is about when you understand the words the way God intended scripture to be written, and it just got lost in translation, and that's okay. God has all that covered, and we just don't have another word for it in the English language. But why I want you to know this is because I want you to grasp, or try, we can't even grasp, but attempt to realize how much God loves us and how we cannot love unless we're doing it through Him, the kind of love that He wants us to have. So when you're reading some of the things in the New Testament and it's saying, you know, love your enemies, and like in Ephesians when it talks about bearing with one another in love, sometimes we think, oh, I just can't do this. This person offended me. This happened, that happened. So I really want you to understand what God is talking about and how we do that. Okay, so I think you're going to love this series. I think you're going to want to do more than just listen on the fly with me. And I think you're going to want to share it because everybody is going to want to hear this. So that I just wanted to kind of give you an overview there, because I didn't want you to think when I was talking about love, we may touch on, you know, love between a husband and wife or different things like that, but I didn't want you to think that that was my focus, because it, you know, it's February, it's like Valentine's month or whatever. I didn't want you to think that was the focus, because my focus is to help you understand every time it says love in the Bible, what does that mean for you? What does that look like for you? One thing, though, I wanted to share with you. I have a New Testament Word Study Bible that I use a lot. And you can Google these things, and there's different apps, but it's called the Word Study Series, A Complete Word Study of the New Testament. And this, I love this because it really helps you understand. So since we're on podcast, of course, I can't show it to you, right? So what I want to do is, if you will jump in my Facebook community, I'm going to do some lives in there. I'm going to share this book with you. I've had it for years and years, and I'm going to show you the advantage of how you can study, and you don't have to be a scholar, okay? Because I'm not a scholar. I don't know how to pronounce all these words in the Greek and the Hebrew, but I've learned enough to where I can dig a little deeper in scripture. And this is what I want to say about digging deeper. I mean, God is going to meet you wherever you are. If you're a baby Christian and you feel like you don't know a lot about the Bible and you just start studying, God's going to show things. He's going to reveal things to you that's in His Word, and He's going to meet you where you are. But as you grow spiritually, He wants you to dig deeper, because He's a deeper God than that surface level. And He wants you to dig deeper to really know Him. It's like saying, God, I love you so much. I'm willing to do the extra work. I'm willing to go deeper with you in studying, in my relationship, in the things that you ask me to do. So just wanted to throw that out there. I want you to remember that. But okay, so a few things, business things before we get started. I have a winner for my survey. So if you, this was January of 2023. So if you filled out my survey to help me with what kind of podcasting you're wanting from me, I did a drawing with a $50 Amazon gift card. I'll be posting that. I'm actually going to post the winner in the show notes. And I will, of course, message them. They won a $50 Amazon gift card for me. And then the other thing, I'm going to keep that Google form open, because if you listen to my podcast and you're like, I would really like you to cover this, you can message me on Instagram or whatever, or on Facebook, but you can also just fill out that Google form. So I'll still be looking at the gift card drawing is over, but I'm going to keep that and I go through and look at it. And that way, if you're wanting me to cover a topic, you know, that's something that I can see on there. Okay. Also, don't forget to join our Facebook community. The link is in the show notes. Okay, so let's get started today. So like I said, you're going to, if you're listening to this while you're driving or working out or cleaning house or doing something else, you really could use this as a Bible study. Like if you would sit down and grab your Bible and go through this with me and take some notes, I really think it would help you. So first of all, I want to start by explaining in the Greek. So the New Testament is written in Greek. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. And as I'm saying this, if you guys are listening to me and you know, you may know so much more than me about the Bible or whatever, I am not, like I say, I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't understand. I've never had any formal training. It's just what I've learned on my own and through Bible study teachings where I've learned from others, but I'm not going to let that hold me back from sharing God's word. And I would say the same thing to you. Like, just nobody is ever going to know everything. And I've listened to a lot of theologians that know a lot about the Bible, and I've heard them say some things that I know that aren't true, and they believe some things that I don't believe because I take the Bible at its word, and there's just some things out there that they believe that I don't believe is true. So I'm saying that to tell you that even if I don't quite understand everything, and but if I do say something that you believe is totally incorrect, I would always want you to message me, because I pray as I do this that I dig deep enough and that I don't read into scripture and that I say things that God has spoken to my heart to say. And it's very important to me that I am being very truthful as I'm speaking from the word of God. With that being said, I'm human. And then, but I'm not going to let that hold me back from speaking, right? Because those things are from Satan. Like, he's like, oh, you may not know enough. You better not speak on this topic with all these Greek words. So I want to say that to encourage you. I've heard this so many times, as especially when I was a children's leader at church and children's ministry, and I would, you know, ask people to be a teacher, and they're like, oh, I don't know enough. I'm like, do any of us know enough? It's not about knowing enough, right? So you just, whatever God called you to speak on, that's what you speak on. Okay, so I wanted to share that with you. So before we get into these Greek words that I may not even pronounce some of them correctly, okay? I didn't even listen to the pronunciation. Sometimes I will go listen to a pronunciation of a word if I'm talking about it on here, but I didn't even do that this time. This is the first thing that you, or a couple of things that I want to point out first. Number one, when you are reading in your translation and you see the word love, like, for God so loved the world, we love because he first loved us. We're going to talk a little bit about that verse. When you see the word love, that's what you're seeing. But actually, in the Greek, there's a number of words for love. We don't get the true picture of what that word means unless we look back at the Greek, number one, and we look back at the context. Like, you have to look at the context of how that word is being used, okay? And I think you're going to love this, because I had some huge aha moments when I was doing this, like mind blown, mic drop moments, I'm telling you. So I was studying one day, and my daughter comes in from work, and I like bombard her. I'm like, she's 18, by the way. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just had the most amazing a discovery. Like, you got to hear this, you know? And she's like, well, hold on, let me grab my Bible. I'm like, well, you don't need your Bible. I'm just going to tell you. She goes, no, I want to look it up. So we sat there for like an hour discussing this, and she was the same way. It's like totally mind blown. So the word that you see in the Greek in the New Testament, where it's talking about you know, the love of God. And like I say, we love because he first loved us. That word, you may have even heard it before, agape, okay? But let me tell you, let me flip over here so I can tell you guys. It's actually agapeo, okay? So it's A-G-A-P-A-O, and that's a long O. And it's a verb. So this is important, okay? This is a verb, okay? So when it says we love, it means we agapeo because he agapeoed us first. So it's a verb, right? So we know when we say I love you, we're saying an action. Love is an action word. We learned that when we learn verbs in school. So love is an action, right? This love has to do with God. This love, you cannot have apart from God. Meaning if you do not have Jesus in your heart and you are not a Christian, this isn't even possible for you, okay? You may think it is, but it's not possible. Let me tell you why. Because this love, it says, I'm going to just read it to you. It indicates a direction of the will, okay? The direction of the will, not emotion. Meaning when I say I love you, that means there's nothing you can do that's going to make me stop loving you because I've willed to love you. And I'm not saying I love you with an emotion, okay? Now, let's not get this confused at all with eros. So I want to cover eros real quick. I don't even know if eros is in the New Testament. Eros is a Greek word. If you know anything about Greek mythology, you know that Eros was the Greek god of love. And it was, you know, romantic love. It was lust. And the Greeks were very, there's a lot of prostitution, a lot of sacrificing to idols during that time. And then we have Cupid. Cupid is actually the Roman Greek god. So it's similar to Eros. Okay. So the Roman Greek god had Cupid. So if you didn't know that Cupid was from a Roman Greek god, then it's supposed to be like Aphrodite and somebody else's child or something like that. Like I say, I don't know a whole lot about Greek mythology, but the reason why I'm mentioning it is because I've learned from when we study the New Testament, if we don't understand what was going on over there during the time that Jesus was there, during Roman rule, if we don't understand all this, we miss out on so much cultural context of what was being written. And so I want you to think about this. When the Greeks and the Romans were talking about this romantic, sexual type love, that was so different from what Jesus was saying. It was so different from what the disciples were teaching them about God and about love. So I just wanted to let you know that, like, this has nothing to do with romantic love. So we have that word agapeo, okay? It's the verb. Now, then we have the word you probably heard of if you've studied the Bible at all or listened to preach at all. They say agape. This is, and I've studied this, guys. I've read this. This is something I did not know. So agape is closely related to agapeo, but agape is a noun. Do we use the word love as a noun? What does that mean? It's where it says God is love. He embodies love. He is love. He doesn't give love. I mean, he does give love and he did love us, but he is love. We can't go around saying we are love, okay? Because we're not. We're still living in the flesh. And when we're trying to live in the spirit in this flesh and we're trying to agape love people, agapeo love people, then we can do it for a minute, right? But we do not embody love. God is love. The Greeks did not have this word in their language, okay? They had agapeo, but they did not have the noun. That is a word from God. It's only found like in related to religion, which was probably started, of course, with the Bible, with Christianity, with the New Testament, okay? It is not a classical Greek word. It was revealed in religion. Okay, this is where I was like mind totally blown. Think about this. When God breathed the scripture, he gave them a new word. He said, I am love. I am it. I embody it. I'm a noun for it. Okay? I'm just not loving you. I am love. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. So when you see agapeo and agape, you're not going to see it, but if I teach you how to use this New Testament word study Bible, and if you drop in my group, I'm going to kind of show you that, just because your mind will be blown, like when you see it, okay? So we have those words. Another word that you're going to see is the word, and you've probably heard of this one too, phileo, which is to love. It's like having common interest, right? It's friending. It's taking an interest in someone. So we understand that, right? Because philia, with more of a feminine ending, it means friendship, okay? So it's a philia is to love. Philia is friendship. We get that Philadelphia, okay? Like the city Philadelphia. That means brotherly love. And so you have this other kind of love, like you would love as a friend. You'd love as a brother. You would... maybe show kindness to somebody, but you may not ever see them again, right? You're just like showing kindness or whatever. So I want to put that out there. So that's that kind of love, like not the love of God. Okay. I know this is like, you're probably like, oh my gosh, she's talking a lot. That's why I said you probably need a pen and paper to like be able to go through this. So I want to show you some verses. This is why you need to understand which word love is being used. Because when you dig deeper in here, it's going to change. You're going to have the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, and it's going to be convicting. This was very convicting for me. It was one of those times my daughter and I were talking yesterday. I'd ask her to come on with me, but, she didn't. She's like, I don't know about that. But we were talking because she studies the book of Hosea. I think I've mentioned that on here before. And she was reading part of it to me yesterday. And I'm like, that is so convicting. And she said, yes. She goes, that's why I quit reading. So it's like, that's the way I felt with the love. Like, I was like, this is absolutely so convicting. Okay. So where you're going to find a lot about love, like if you want to read in between the book of John, of course, that's why I did the study for you guys on the book of John. That's why I did the workbook, because I wanted you to know how much Jesus loved you, how much God loved you. Like, I really wanted you to understand that. And so I think this is even going to help you go a little bit further in that, because this is the cool thing. Since I recorded those videos and did that study, there has been more stuff that I have learned about in John that I want to like go back and re-record. I'm like, oh my gosh, I know this now, right? Like, this is cool. And I want to share it with you, but I'll share it with you through here. And then, of course, 1 John, you're going to see a ton about love. And then in Ephesians, you're going to see a whole lot about love. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And we're going to talk about that one too, not today, okay? So this is what, just so it wouldn't be too long today, I wanted to do that introduction. And then I just want to show you why this is important, why you can't close your mind and say, oh, that's too complicated. It's not complicated, because I'm going to show you how to uncomplicate it, okay, with your new word study. Well, I want to share this with you. Actually, I'm looking at my Bible, but I think I'm going to have to get my word study Bible out to kind of read it through here. So my word study Bible is actually like a New King James Version, but I'll read it out of the NIV. And I don't know what the NLT says. I don't have that translation in front of me. That's why using multiple translations, it's like really important. And then like even Googling the meaning of words, like the definition, but you always need to put that back in context. Because when you're Googling a secular definition of a word that's in the Bible, sometimes it translates and sometimes you have to go, okay, well, let me look at the context of this and see what this is about to make sure that that's what God is saying, okay? I think I told y'all when we got done with the study of John, I saw some things about Peter that I'm like, I'm going to go back and study Peter. I want to see, because I knew about Peter, understood, of course he had spiritual growth, of course he died a martyr's death. But when you look at him in John, when he was first called as a disciple, he was so spiritually mature, and it just really made me think about our own lives, how we are, but oh, how we don't want to stay that way. Like, that's the biggest, like, we don't want to stay there. We want to grow in our relationship with God and grow and grow and grow. And so I was studying Peter, and I had gotten to this verse that I'm going to share with you guys. I was listening to a podcast. If you don't listen to this podcast and you like a little bit about theology, it's really good. It's Lisa Harper's Back Porch Theology, and she says it's back porch because it's theology, but it's not stuffy. So it's very relatable, but she'll pull in some theological terms and share some different things that help you go deeper. But so she said something about Peter, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. And then when I I didn't really think as much about it. Like, I thought, wow, but I didn't think about it again. And then when I opened my Bible to work on this for the love month, it came to mind. And this is what I want to say. If you're feeling drawn to a topic, go study that topic, because God is drawing you to that topic for a reason. Let me give you an example of this. So I had struggled with women's role in life, in the church, not just feeling tugged by the Holy Spirit, saying God has bigger things for women, and lots of times they're held back in the church. And I'm like, but it says in the Bible here, and God's like, dig deeper. And I thought, well, God, what's the answer? Like, what is the answer? Can women be preachers? Can women teach with men in the room? Like, what are these? Because I grew up Southern Baptist, or not Southern Baptist, but I'm in the South and Baptist. And so, you know, we had very strict rules on that. And then I saw some other things and some things that some leaders had said. And I'm like, I'm feeling like the Holy Spirit saying, that's not right. I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to read it and God's going to give me the answer. But like I say, He wants us to dig deeper. So I started studying, but then I was doing another Bible study and He brought that up in that Bible study. And then He showed me a little more, and then something else happened. And it's like, that come to something else that I was like reading or listening to or whatever. And He showed me a little more. And it's like, He's not going to say, I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm going to instill it in your heart. Where when somebody says, no, this is the way it's supposed to be, you can say, you know what? I went deeper with God, and this is what I've learned, and this is what I'm going to show you, because I'm not going to forget this, because I had to dig deep for it. Nobody just told it to me. And so when you open your mind to something, and like whatever you're focusing on, you're going to see other opportunities in that area. And that's just with everything in life. You know, it's you buy the red car, nobody's driving that red car, and then you get the red car and everybody's got one. Well, you just didn't see it before. So when I was listening to the podcast, when I'd been studying Peter, and she brings up something with Peter, I'm like, oh my gosh, I probably would never have even thought about that, but I was studying Peter, and God's saying, hey, you need to study Peter. I don't know why. And then He showed me this, and then it has to do with our love study. Okay, if you're studying along with me, I want you to go to John chapter 21, and I'm just going to do a little overview here, and you can read the whole chapter. Jesus died, rose again, appeared to the disciples. Then they're like, we don't know what to do. So Peter, they went out to fish, like Peter and Thomas and Nathaniel and the sons of Zebedee. They're all like, let's go fishing, right? That's what men do, I guess, when they don't know what to do. They went out to fish. Well, Jesus stood on the shore. He didn't go, he wasn't around, and all of a sudden He's standing on the shore, and they didn't realize it was Jesus. And Jesus called out to him, and it's like, how many fish do you have? And He's like, yeah, we didn't catch any. He's like, oh, throw your net out again over there. Jesus told him, you'll get some. And when they did, they're like, oh, Peter's like, oh, it's the Lord. And so they went on shore. I just love this. It's just the humanity of Jesus. They had caught a bunch of fish. They went on shore, and Jesus said, come and have breakfast. Oh, my heart. I love that. And none of the disciples dared ask Him who He was. Like, they knew it. And He took some bread and He gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. And it was just like, I mean, He had a fire burning, you know, He had some bread, He had some fish on the fire, and they had breakfast together. It's just, I love that. So when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, and now I'm just going to read this first out of the NIV translation, okay? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then He said again, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt. And because Jesus asked him the third time, he said, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then He said, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. So He was telling him, you're going to die a martyr's death for me. Peter didn't understand that yet, but He was telling that. Okay, this is what she said on the podcast, and so I had to go look it up, and it was just like crazy. Jesus is saying, when He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He is saying, do you agapeo me? Do you continuous action, never stop loving me? Do it out of your will, not out of emotion. Like, do you really love me? And do you know how Peter's responding? He's not responding with that word, agapeo. He's responding with the word phileo, meaning what? Common interest, brotherly love. He's responding with a different word. And Jesus asked him again, Simon, do you agapeo me? And he says, yes, Lord, I phileo you. You know, he's like, he's using a different word. So I thought about it like this. I thought about it. It's kind of like if somebody says, oh, I love you. And they go, oh, I like you too. You'd be like, what? I just said I love you, you know? And says, no, but I love you. And they're, oh, yeah, I like you too. That would be what's being said here, but it gets lost in translation. So I want you to go in there and I want you to mark through where Jesus says love, and I want you to put agapeo. And I want you to mark through where Peter responds, and I want you to put phileo. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but there you go. But he said that the first time that way. He said it the second time that way, okay? But the third time, this is crazy, Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? This time, Jesus didn't use the word agapeo anymore. He used the word that Peter could relate to. He used the word phileo. He says, or phileo, I think is the way you say it, like, do you phileo me? And then he says, yes, of course, you're hurting my feelings. Of course I do it. So even though they were using two different words, Jesus finally was like, okay, he's saying, this is what he's saying. And she brought this out on the podcast. And then when I looked it up and it was like made so much sense to me. Jesus met Peter where he was. Peter wasn't ready to say, I'm willing to die for you. He had said it earlier, but he didn't really get it. And then he denied Jesus. So you have to look at this pattern. He's like, I'm going to die. I would die for you. And then he's like, no, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And then he does. And then Peter's ashamed. And he's saying again, do you love me enough? And Peter's like, maybe now Peter's going, I'm not sure I do. Like, I've already denied you. I'm kind of scared to say that word. But he meets Peter where he is. And so I want you to think about that with yourself. You know, Jesus is meeting you where you are. If you are trying to come to God or you want to know Jesus, but you think you have to clean yourself up first and you have to reach this certain standard, like you're not good enough, that's a lie from Satan. You're never going to be good enough and you can't make yourself good enough. But Jesus, he's going to do that for you and he's going to meet you wherever you are. But think about this. After he says this, he's like, okay, Peter, I get you. I see you're not really ready to go all in with me. Okay, but that's okay because I'm going to meet you where you are. This makes me want to cry. So excited. And then he tells him, you're going to die a martyr's death for me, is what he's telling him. He don't understand that yet. The thing that it's saying is, you may not be here now. You may not agapeo me now, but you will. You will. You're going to spiritually grow to that point. And I thought, that is just amazing to me. And so I wanted to bring this out because I wanted you to have to know, because we're going to talk more about the God is love and how much he loves us and all that in other episodes. But I wanted you just to start seeing that Jesus is going to meet you where you are. Like, you don't buy into the lies of Satan that you're not good enough, okay? And don't buy into that you're great and you don't need anything else. Both of those are lies, but you know, God will meet you wherever you are, but you're not too good for him. Anyway, I just wanted to share that part with you first, and we're going to dive into a lot of other verses and what I want you to take away from this month. And guys, please share with a friend because you know that people need to hear this. And I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, how you love others and stuff like that. But this is what I think. If you don't understand the love that God has for you and the love of sending his son to die for you, like if you don't get that ingrained in your soul, if you can't grasp that, then you can't love other people. And when you do that, you actually love yourself. And I'm going to talk about this topic too. I may talk about it more in my group because I think sometimes when we say, you know, do you love yourself or you need to love yourself, that seems worldly. And it can, of course, but I want to talk to you about in the context of that, of what it says in the Bible. And how, I mean, if God loves us so much, then, you know, how much do you love yourself? Or do you love yourself enough to quit putting yourself down and quit playing small and quit worrying about what others think to go bigger. Because honestly, you have to love yourself a little bit to be ready to go bigger. And it doesn't mean you're loving yourself, but you're loving what God has done for you, what He's put inside of you, what He says about you. Like, you start understanding that. So anyway, we'll go a little deeper in that topic. I wish you could talk back to me, because I hope you got as much, like, I would like to know, did you feel, wow, that's awesome. That's amazing. I feel great. I can go conquer the world. That's what I was hoping with today. So please send me a message on Instagram if you're, you know, loving this. Be sure and share with a friend, okay? And then pop in our group, and I'm going to be sharing more on the topic and about the new word study in our group. So I'll see you guys later.